usually introduce me as an infamous cheapo, so I've been thinking about this, and I think if I'm an infamous cheapo, you should be a notorious cheapo.
I'm prepared to accept that.
Okay,
Yeah,
good.
I am. You've walked across the city to save 160 yen. I don't know. I mean, I've been eating gyudon almost every day since I got here, so.
I think we just have to compare socks, and I think that
Welcome to Tokyo Cheapo Podcast. Think Tokyo's expensive? Well, think again. We'll be giving all you cheapos, spendthrifts, and cheapasses all the best tips for visiting and living in Tokyo on a pittance. Cheap sushi, cheap sausages, cheap dates, cheap dogs, cheap hotels, cheap holidays, cheap
suits,
cheap
salads, cheap
burgers,
cheap
food,
cheap
something
funny, Craig.
Say something funny.
There we go, that was funny enough.
You're probably going to do that. You're probably going to put that on, aren't you?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, welcome to the third Tokyo Cheapo podcast. It's a bright and sunny morning here in Tokyo, and for the first time, we're in the same time zone.
In the same
that
city,
being
even.
Tokyo. I'm Greg Lane's conscience, formerly known as Chris Kirkland, and this is Greg Lane. We'll come back to that in another episode.
Right, okay, shall we begin with the 101 article?
We shall indeed. Today we are going to be talking about 101 things to do in Tokyo, which is an article we just published on the site. So we're going to be digging into some of the top tips that we have for being a cheapo and getting your money's worth, which is preferably 0 yen, of entertainment out of the city. So what we were thinking is we would talk about stuff which would be interesting for tourists and stuff that would also be interesting for people who've been here for a while and they maybe haven't sniffed out some of the gems that we found. So with that in mind, I'd like to start with number 21, which is Asakura House. And it's basically a preserved old-school Japanese house. And this is one for the residents, really, because I was living 3 or 4 minutes walk from this place, and I didn't know it was there for about 2 years. I'd walked past it and I'd kind of noticed that there was this sort of gravel driveway. But it's a really beautiful house, and it's only 100 yen to get in. Or if you want to fork out 500 yen, you get an annual pass. So you can go there as many times as you like. And it's, it's really serene. It's proper old school. It's got to be at least 100 years old, maybe even longer. And it's,
does it just have a Japanese garden, or is there a Western garden as well?
It's only Japanese garden. It's got a Japanese garden, but it's you go around the house and it's got like the room. I think it belonged to some former lord or something.
Right, right.
And there's like a room where he would receive his guests, and there's like the kind of rooms at the back where they would have slept and stuff. And it's a classic. Historical item, it's for 100 yen, it's brilliant.
I think something that in compiling the list, something that I've noticed is just the number of these gardens are left over from the Edo period or like the early 20th century, when there was the Japanese nobility. A lot of these places are still there, which is quite amazing, but they're like you said, they tend to be a little bit hidden away and not obviously not close to the stations because they were all built before there was any kind of transport network.
Yeah. That's one of the things that definitely strikes me about Tokyo is you've got all this ultra-modern development everywhere, and then suddenly kind of sandwiched between two skyscrapers, there's this kind of temple.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just said, it's often a little tricky to find.
Yep. Okay, so another one of the highlights for me, I think... this kind of, it's probably as good for tourists as it is for people who live in Tokyo, I think. The Sony building in Ginza. So I'd say if you live in Tokyo, it's probably not worth a trip to look at it. But you know, if you're in Ginza and you know, you're wandering around and you want to see something different, then have a look. I think it's maybe lost a bit of its shine, probably along with Sony. So I think you know, you used to be able to go there like 5 or 6 years ago, and they had the Aibo robot dogs. You could play with them, and there was, you know, there was that kind of feeling that Sony was you know, introducing all this brand new tech that you know, you couldn't get anywhere else. Whereas now it's a little bit it's a little bit kind of me too. Like, there's a lot of stuff that other companies do just as well or better. But I mean, there's 10 levels, so. Yeah. You know, all of their latest and best stuff is on show, so it's definitely worth a look, and it's huge. I mean, as I said, it's 10 levels. It just goes on and on and on, and there's staff. There's 2 or 3 staff on every level, and you know, you can just talk to them and you know, spin shit. It's kind of fun. So
check it out before it closes down, because now they've got junk status.
It might be the victim of cost cutting eventually.
So from one 10-story building to another, next one on the list you pointed out was the Shibuya 109 building.
Yes.
Which is 10 stories of Tokyo Gyaru action.
Indeed.
If you don't know what gyaru is, that is basically the Japanese way of saying gal or girl, and it's like you know, teenage stroke early 20s female fashion, but a particular kind of sort of trashy bleached blonde Barbie doll style fashion, which is seemingly still going strong.
Not as strong as it was, but. We could have a whole episode on talking about that kind of stuff.
But basically, if you're, I'm sure if you live in Tokyo, you know the building well. But if you're a tourist, it's definitely worth putting on your agenda. Is just wandering around the Shibuya 109 building in.
I'd lived in Tokyo for 10 years before I went there, and I was just my eyes were on stalks. it's not in a pervy way or anything. It's just like a different planet. You go in there, and they're, you know, the fashion and the people and the noise and the customers. It's like it's honestly going to a different planet.
Yeah. And that sandwiches nicely into segues nicely into number 65, the Shinjuku Underground Challenge, which is. For me, has always been a kind of futuristic, sort of happy version of Blade Runner. Basically, if you probably know, Shinjuku is, I think it's the most busy train station in the world. And subsequently, it has a massive mecca. It's a shopping mall mecca. There's like a God knows how many shopping malls surrounding it. But what makes it really interesting is they're all intricately connected. You go into one department store, you're on floor 8, you take the lift down to the basement, walk down a corridor, and you're in the next department store. And, you know, you go down 2 levels and you're underground basement 3, and there's a connecting passage to another shopping mall. And, basically you can spend at least several hours wandering around underground and then coming up into a department store and basically getting yourself totally lost without seeing the light of day. And for me, you know, that's a real, that's another futuristic, different world.
Yeah, I guess that's, for me, that's more of a tourist thing, because maybe it's just my approach to getting around. I always want to get from one place to another place as quickly as possible. So getting lost in an underground shopping center is probably not my idea of fun. But well, you know.
Maybe I'm a bit of a kind of train geek style person, because I like the fact that I can go from one end of Shinjuku to the other without going above ground.
Tokyo Station is similar. There's a huge shopping area under that as well, and it's connected to all the surrounding buildings.
So anyway, for the tourists or the residents who've got some sort of geeky map-like fascination, which a residence, which is perhaps, perhaps I'm one of a kind.
Okay, The next one I put on the list is number 67, which is Kabukicho. We have an interesting article on the site, actually, from Aaron Baggett. He wrote probably back in July, I think. So the reason I put Kabukicho down on the list for the podcast is, for me, it's a really unique kind of microcosm in Tokyo. So for those who don't know, Kabukicho is the main red light district in Tokyo. But it's primarily a red light district for Japanese. It's one of those kind of slightly exclusive places. They foreigners are kind of tolerated, but they're not tolerated beyond a certain point, if you know what I mean. So I would definitely recommend having a look, because you'll see a lot of really unique stuff, like host bars, for example. So Chris, have you ever worked in a host bar?
Sadly, I've never had the opportunity.
Right.
So, have you, Greg?
No, nor have I. No, I haven't been asked.
I do have the blonde hair, which a lot of the hosts do, but I don't sculpt it in
stick
that spiky
properly.
Way. No,
it's got a They've got a very unique kind of look. They're kind of wire thin, and they wear these kind of shiny suits, and they have these insane kind of style, like, you know, shaped sculptured hairstyles.
Rod Stewart, I think, is
so. It's worth going there to see them, because they hang out outside these clubs, kind of handing out coupons and trying to attract the wealthy ladies.
Cajole the wealthy ladies to burning through all their Ichiman yen notes in their
Yes. Apparently,
bars.
A lot of their customers are hostesses. So
yeah,
there's a certain irony in that.
They've earned Juman yen that's 100,000 yen from chatting up these drunk, overpaid salarymen, and they burn it all in one night.
And then they go and get drunk and talk to hosts.
So, and that probably goes into some gangster's back pocket.
Exactly.
It's a seedy caution.
Kabukicho, you got to keep your wits about you. So I've actually been drunk there once, because there's actually lots of cheap bars around there as well. And I got hit by a bouncer. So, we were talking about this before the podcast. Japan's generally a safe place, but if you go looking for trouble, you'll probably find it. So Kabukicho is definitely one of those places where you can find trouble. So
I should probably clarify that a bit. It's most of Tokyo, you wouldn't really find any kind of violence, but yep. Kabukicho is if anything bad's going down, that's perhaps the place to find it. But you still have to look for it. You know, you can wander around there and you wouldn't see anything most of the time. But if you're kind of drunk and a bit naive, you want to be careful. Yeah. Even Greg, a veteran cheapo, fell foul of the bouncer.
Indeed. Okay, so next on the list is number 73, the Rainbow Bridge. So number 73 is actually the Yurikamome train. So this is a kind of a light rail train which runs from Shimbashi through Odaiba, and it terminates in Toyosu. So, but the highlight of this train trip is actually that it crosses the Rainbow Bridge, which is a huge suspension bridge that crosses Tokyo Bay. And the cost of the Yurikamame is only a couple of hundred yen, and it's well worth it just for the view of the bay. It's incredible, especially on a day like today when it's beautifully fine and clear. Have you done that trip?
I have, actually. Yeah, I've taken the Yurikamame to Odaiba. Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster, because it kind of does that massive loop.
It does, yeah. It does a big loop before it goes on the bridge, yeah.
So... Yeah. Before we move on, I think we should take a short little break to give a shout out to our two or three of our listeners. One of them who we know is a listener is the Swedish Otaku, one of our Twitter followers. A big shout out to Mr. Swedish Otaku. And of course, Aaron, our famed staff writer, who is one of our other three listeners. So
actually I got some feedback actually My daughter actually listened to the podcast, and she said it's the second most boring podcast she ever heard.
Nice.
The good news is she only listens to two podcasts, so the other one is more boring. So
can you get her to put that as a testimonial on iTunes?
Yeah, I think I'll have to get her to rate it.
So yeah, and guys, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yeah, excellent. Please.
So, moving back to our article, the number 94 is a favourite of mine, which is going for a run around the Imperial Palace. No doubt, most residents and tourists will have seen the Imperial Palace in some form, and the running around it is a really unique way of experiencing it, because normally as a tourist you don't have time to wander around the whole moat, or let alone run around it, because it's about 5K, which is a good jogging distance. But it's a really nice view, because you go through the park, you go past the palace, there's all these sakura trees, and then you've got the skyscrapers from the Marunouchi area. And it's a bit of a cultural experience too, because you've got all the Japanese jogging, and then if you're doing it at the right time of day, which would be like, you know, rush hour, then you see all the salarymen scuttling off to work. And you see them from several different districts. You see the people who are kind of working in the city, Marunouchi. You see some of the civil servant government types. And then you've got the Hanzomon side as well. So it's, you know.
I guess the rush hour for the actual jogging is probably lunchtime, right?
There's two. There's basically before people start work. So you're talking 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, your people are running lunchtime, and then after work as well. I always my personal preference was the morning, because the air's a bit clearer.
There seems to be a direction you're supposed to run it in. Like, I noticed about 90% of the runners running the same direction, and the only people running the other way were a few non-Japanese who probably didn't know the rules.
Yeah, I'd always run the other way.
I'm sure you can run any direction you like, but it definitely seems to be a convention.
There's certainly a convention, as is the case with most things in Japan, but I would always run the other way around, because it was more interesting looking at people.
right, you get to see the other joggers.
Yeah.
So, okay, shall we move on to the next one?
Yep. 100, was it 100 or 101? Anyway, one of the last ones in the article,
it's not 101.
Was Mount Takao, which is a mountain on the edge of the city. It's just about a mountain. It's about 600 meters, I think. So it's, and you know, if you're not up for hiking, you can take the cable car all the way to the top anyway. So it's a nice little taste of nature. It's probably the closest natural spot that you'll get to if you're coming from central Tokyo. And we actually, I don't think we've mentioned it in any articles yet, but it's
not yet. No,
as it mentions in the one of the cheap things to do article.
Yeah. Actually, everyone mentions it as a really easy climb, but I actually went up there with my daughter.
Yeah.
And she was quite small at the time, so I was carrying her a lot of the time. But unfortunately, on the way down, I twisted my ankle, so I made it considerably more difficult.
Nice.
So I wouldn't recommend carrying a child down a mountain track with 1 foot.
So that's for the Takao
challenge. Yeah.
Carry your child up. But yeah, anyway, it's got a temple, shrine, and it's got a nice view of Mount Fuji if the weather conditions are right.
So yeah, it's pretty rare that though.
Yeah, I've actually never seen it myself, but never seen it from Mount Takao. But that's 101. So next on the list,
we've gone out of order now.
Well, we're not Japanese. We don't have to do things conventionally.
Okay.
So the next one we got down was skipping back a few, 97, the circuit of the Yamanote Line. That's really a good one for tourists, because anyone living here probably wants to get off the Yamanote Line
as quickly as possible. Yeah.
But it's a cheaper way of having a kind of hour-long sort of tour bus guide of the city without any tour bus guide. But basically it loops around the city and it takes about an hour. And as long as you get off at a different station from the one you got on, then it should only cost you 130 yen, is it, for JR?
That's the lowest ticket price.
Yeah. Next one.
So if you're going one or two stations, so if you get off one or two stations from where you started, it should cost no more than 130 yen.
So the next one on the list is Nombe Yokucho in Shibuya. That's number 85. That's a quaint little spot, still existing. It's basically some old school, tiny little Japanese bars. Most of them have scarcely got enough room for three or four customers.
And, I'm surprised that you chose that, actually, because to me it's a really kind of completely boozy area. So seeing as you don't partake in alcohol.
Well, it doesn't prevent me from going to bars. I can stand there and order orange juices all night, or just one. In fact, it's a good cheapo tip if you're non-alcoholic. I mean, becoming teetotal is a good alcoholic drink because being teetotal is a good cheapo tip because you don't really want to drink more than one orange juice in an evening. Whereas if you're drinking alcohol, it's quite easy to just order beer after beer after beer. So anyway, after that digression, Nombe Yokucho, even if you don't stop at the bars, just kind of peeking in, looking at them, because they're this is a really unique Japanese experience, being crammed into one of these tiny little spaces with a group of Oji-san customers. Sometimes you get young ladies there as well.
I think something to note with that kind of stuff is, if you're a tourist, if you're coming to Japan for the first time, you can be quite, a little bit intimidated by that kind of stuff. You kind of think, you know, would I be welcome, or can I, you know, go into these kind of super local kind of places where, you know, all the people look like, you know, they kind of live in the bar or something.
Yeah.
But I think the reality is you can go anywhere. I mean, you know, there's none of that kind of... you know, look at the funny person and, you know, get out of my bar kind of thing. They're pretty much anywhere you go, they'll be welcoming and they'll be happy to see you.
In fact, at least one of the bars in that area is actually owned by a foreigner. So if you still feel a bit scared, then you've still got some options in Nombe Yokucho. But don't feel scared. Just barge in and order a drink. So, last two on the list, a great little gem that I found after living here for 4 years is the Louis Vuitton Gallery, which is the top floor of the Louis Vuitton building in Omotesando. I've personally got no interest in Louis Vuitton bags and all their other stuff that I can't afford. But a slight digression, I went to go to this gallery, and of course you have to enter the shop so you see the bags and stuff. And there was a couple there with a little dog that had dungarees and a scarf and stuff on. So nice. Even if you're not going to see the gallery, just looking at the clientele and the dog clientele of Louis Vuitton is... a bonus for number 85. But anyway, the gallery itself, you go into Louis Vuitton store, take a right and take the elevator to the top floor. And it's a really nice gallery space. They've usually got good work up there and it's free. They even give you, when I went there, they gave me a massive, sort of book brochure, which must have cost about 5,000 yen to produce one copy. And that was for me to take home. So I'm sure you could sell that on eBay afterwards.
You know, it's funny, Louis Vuitton and, you know, the status in Japan. I got to admit, when I first came to Japan 12 years ago, I actually thought Louis Vuitton was a Swiss bank.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway, it's a lovely gallery and it's got the bonus of being a really nice view over Omotesando and the Harajuku area.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we move on to... basically we've highlighted one more option. I mean, we haven't tried everything on the list ourselves, so you know, I think Probably me and Chris are both going to be trying out a few of the things on the list ourselves.
Yeah.
So one of them is the Chofu Aerospace Center, which is run by JAXA. So
it's free now, to get in, right, isn't it?
Go ahead.
It's a freebie. It's free to get
it
in,
is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's completely free. And you can try, apparently you can try a space shuttle simulator, and they have various historic kind of space capsules and satellites, and you know, obviously Japan has quite a major role in the International Space Station.
Yeah.
So there's one of the modules of the International Space Station was built in Japan, so yeah. I'm sure there must be some really cool stuff there, so I'm quite keen to have a look at that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to try on the list?
Maybe the gas museum.
Okay. That's, yeah, there's definitely some quirky museums. I'm not sure if I want to try all of them, but
some guy mentioned that the parasitological.
Yes, the parasite museum.
Have you
it's
seen
the only
that?
One
the parasite
in the world,
museum.
Apparently.
That's apparently worth seeing. That's number 4 on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone just this is just a bit of an introduction of some of our favorites or some of our highlights of the list. So if you want to see the whole thing, go to the site. You can find it straight from the index page.
Yeah. Or it's 101 free and cheap things to do in Tokyo.
Yep. So thanks for listening, and look us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And we'll hopefully see you very soon.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.